I've certainly enjoyed being here this today, and would have liked to have been here yesterday, but had some things kind of come up to hinder that, and certainly enjoyed the things that Brother Buddy has talked about here this afternoon, as well as others this morning, and I hope you'll be in prayer for me during the time that we'll try to stand before you here this afternoon. One thing about being at a meeting like this, and that sometimes maybe the Lord impresses people to have something crystal clear on their mind before they get here, you know, or whatever. I've had several thoughts cross my mind. The preaching today has really stirred me up on a lot of different things. So I hope you'll pray for me this afternoon that things that might be on my mind would be of the Lord. It seems like at home in recent times we've been talking a little bit about how God's Word tells us, and I guess maybe for a scripture that comes to my mind, the Apostle Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy, and he's telling him, that's maybe interesting that I'll turn over there real quickly, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy tells him now that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We see that today rampantly across the world that we're living in, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with. We can always go to get the Impossible Burger, whatever it is, the imaginary burger, whatever it is they've got today out at the latest thing. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. But if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Always like to make sure I add in there at that. Doesn't mean it doesn't profit anything. Just means it goes away. It profits for a little while. And we understand that. But he says, exercising ourselves to the things of godliness is more profitable than that. It has greater benefits. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and that which is to come. So exercising ourselves to a godly way of life not only gives us reassurance that we are God's children, it helps us be able to look and does good for us now. Exercising ourselves to the Word of God. I thought about, as Brother Buddy was talking, that there in that same 119th Psalm, how David mentioned several times. And I think maybe that's one of the cures to the things that are afflicting us today. Besides seeing God's Word, not only seeing God's Word as right in all things, whatever it explains to us, whether it's creation, whether it's marriage, whether it's godly living, right, wrong, and all of these things, no matter what God's Word proclaims, it's right. But then I was thinking of that 119th Psalm. David talks repeatedly there in that 119th Psalm about how he delighted in the Word of God. I delight in thy statutes. I delight in thy law. That means he absolutely was excited about it. I mean, there's one thing to know it's true, but to actually get excited about God's law and God's statutes and God's truths. And today, one of the things that's afflicting us, not them, what's afflicting us today, God's people, the Primitive Baptist Church, other churches, is we have forgotten to delight in the Word of God. Not just, you know, God's Word says one man, one woman, male and female, for life. Delight in it. Find the right one and delight in it. Be excited about it. God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not pursue after all these other things that the world tries to attract to your attention on the latest TV shows, the latest movies, the latest advertisements, whatever it is, that they're trying to entice you to be dissatisfied with what you have. Go back and delight in the Word of God. Learn to delight in God's Word. Be satisfied that God's Word is the best way. The Creator, the one that created us, actually knows what's good for us. He actually knows what's good for us, not only for eternity, but while we live here, God knows what's best. And when we learn to accept that, you know, you say, well, Brother Charles, I've accepted that. Well, we've accepted that much like little children, my grandchildren have accepted that when I tell them, don't do that, it's what's best for them. While they look at you and go on and continue to do it anyway. We are much like that when it comes to the things of God's Word. We hear what God has said. We know He's God. We know this is God's Word, and we go on and mess up anyway. We've got two natures. We've got two natures. It's like having two dogs. Y'all have all heard that, right? It says, which one's going to win? The one I say sick 'em to. Right? And that's where our problem comes in. We get in the flesh and we pursue the flesh instead of thinking about what God's Word says to us. For bodily exercise, y'all thought I forgot where I was. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Godliness is not going to assure we're going to get to heaven. That's not what gets us there. But it does give us some assurance along the trail, along the path. I don't know about you. I need a little assurance along the way that's actually my destination one of these days. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. He's a Savior to men whether they know about it or not. I'm not saying all men without exception. I'm saying He's a Savior to men that don't even know it, but especially them that believe. It gives something to us that it doesn't do for everybody else, that if we believe that God's the our Savior, I'll tell you, it gives us assurance along the way. He says, therefore we labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, not the God of stone and not the God of man's minds and not the gods that people imagine of themselves at times, that I can decide what's right, that I know best. That's how I feel today, Brother Buddy. No, it's not about how you feel today. Put your feelings aside and let your feelings be based on being conformed to the Word of God, delighting in it, and being glad that what God has left us instruction that we might know. Who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe, these things command and teach. Timothy, preachers today, command and teach these things. Why? Because God's people need a continual reminder. You'll see where I'm trying to get to here in a minute, but I'm going to jump across over here for a minute and leave this portion of Scripture long enough to go over to Hebrews chapter 2. And when I get to chapter 2, what I want to do is give you the summary of chapter 1 before I get to the first part of chapter 2 in Hebrews, because the Apostle Paul, or the writer, I know it doesn't say written by Paul, if he didn't write it, maybe God will tell me one of these days when I get up there and I know all things, but it sure does write like him. Okay, so he tells us here in Hebrews, he says, God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Oh, the prophets were good. God called men to be, but in these last days He sent us His Son to tell us about these things. And He spoke to us by His Son, and whom He hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also He made the worlds. Now I want you to see, we talk about God's Word being a revealer to us of, of the things of God and God's nature and God's character so that we can see Him and study Him and know more about Him. But now He's also told us this Son of God, this man, this Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came here in these last days and spoke to us, is the one that created everything. He's the Creator. And He says, and who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had purged our sins, when He did it, He didn't try to do it, He didn't want to do it, when He purged us of our sins, when He purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than angels, who hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. All right, so all of that, that's reading the first portion of Hebrews chapter 1 to say Christ above all. Christ to be in the exalted one. Christ to be the one that saved us, who purged us of our sins, who created all things, who upholds the world by the power of His word, even now, withholding that which is to come. So he says, he's in the exalted place. Chapter 2. So we jump start here. Therefore, because Christ is the Son of God who upholds the world by His power, who has the exalted place of sitting on the right hand of the throne of the Father, because He's purged us of our sins, and He didn't try to do it, He did it, He accomplished it on the cross, He achieved exactly what He came to do, all that the Father had given to Him shall come to Him, and he saved them all from their sins by His blood. He sat down, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That word slip in my center column reference says, run out like a leaking vessel. That's us. I'm the tire that you can't quite hear that's going psh. It's leaking all the time. They have a little street festival thing there in Jasper. Went down last night to walk around with my wife. She likes to look at the booze and what they got for sale, you know. They got the bouncy houses and all this. And the grandkids are down there wanting to go through the bouncy houses, you know. Good, try to be a good grandpa sometimes, you know. Go down there, help watch after them while they go try to get through. So I'm standing there next to the little bouncy thing. It's the sections of that thing are stitched together. I just happened to lay my hand on it. It was leaking. Not so much that you could hear it. That's us. You can't quite see it sometimes, but there was this little perceptible feeling on my hand that I could feel the air from that seam. That's the reason that blower blows all the time, and the thing never does blow up, by the way. Right? The bouncy houses don't blow up. They just stay inflated, but they're leaking all the time. But you know why? You know what? They stay inflated all the time? Because they're constantly being fed with that air. What we need to do is be inflated all the time because we're leaking all the time. So the only way to do that is to take the more earnest heed to the things you've heard, lest at any time you let them slip. They're slipping. We're slipping all the time, and so we've got to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard. That means pay attention to them. Give thought to them. Think about what you've heard. Think about what you've heard here today. Give the more earnest heed to these things and don't be deceived and say, well, I heard Brother Butt talking, it'll never happen to me. Take the more earnest heed to the things you've heard. If it wasn't possible for God's people to slip up, God wouldn't have given us warning to watch out and take heed to these things, lest at any time we let them slip. God's concerned about us slipping. But He doesn't want us to. We don't have to. But we need to be taking more earnest heed to the things we've heard. Let's keep going. Timothy says, let no man these things command. Don't say, well, this is, have you ever heard that? You know, it's not the 10 suggestions. It's the 10 commandments. These things command and teach, Timothy. Preachers, we don't need to be wimpy. We're commanding folks by the Word of God, by the authority of the Holy Spirit. This is what God says. That's not what I'm saying. That's a wimpy way out, right? But anyway, you know, command and teach. Command and teach these things. Let no man despise thy youth, Timothy, but be thou an example of the believers. All right? Don't despise your youth. Young folks trying to live the right thing and preachers trying to do the right thing and teach. Don't let them despise your youth, but at the same time, be an example of the believers. Be an example. If you don't want them to despise your youth, you being a good example to other people. Parents, grandparents, young folks, be a good example out there. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity. Boy, I'm telling you, we're covering it now, aren't we? In word, what you say, conversation, what you do, in charity, how you give an example of giving to others and taking, as God's word has commanded us to watch out after those that are in need, the poor, they're always with us. In charity, in spirit. Ding. Having the right spirit about us. Tell the truth. Who was it this morning talking about Brother Chris talking about? These things are right. Stand on them. Tell the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4. Be sure that as we're telling God, the standing on what's right, be sure you got the right spirit about you. Let it be God's spirit that's in you, leading in, as you're teaching. In spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading. That's good for all of us. To exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that's in thee. I know Timothy, he was talking particularly to Timothy. Timothy had the gift of the ministry. And so forth. So he says, don't neglect that gift. Again, men, if it's not possible for us to neglect the gift, Paul would have said, don't neglect the gift. Pay attention to reading, study, exhortation, to doctrine, teaching. That's what we're to be teaching, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, by the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Duh. Meditate. Think about it. When cut the TV off, pick up your Bible, and I'm not saying read, you can read. Read and then think about what you're reading. Stop and meditate about what is he saying? I don't know. Call the preacher up. He may not know, but he'll be glad to talk to you about it. He'll be glad to know you're reading and got a question. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly, not H-O-L-Y, W-H-O-L-L-Y, totally. Give yourself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. People are going to notice if you're reading, studying, meditating, thinking, and trying to, that your spirit's right, your word is right, your conversation's right, your faith is right. People will notice that. That your profiting may appear to all, take heed to thyself and the doctrine. Timothy, if you're going to preach it, you need to live it. Take heed to thyself. Timothy, be watchful of what you do. Charles, watch out for what you do. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. What you're to take heed to about yourself is what the doctrines say, what the Word of God says. Take heed to what it says and do it. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Timothy, Timothy was already an ordained minister of God. I don't think the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy that he needed to be trying to work his way to heaven here by doing these things. No, what Paul wanted Timothy to do was save himself from this ungodly generation, this ungodly world that he was living in. And he says, Timothy, if you'll teach it, preach it, and set the right example for the people there in front of you, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Churches will be destroyed today, or being destroyed, and godly people are being destroyed because the ministry's falling down. We're dragging the people down. Sometimes I feel the people are dragging me down, but okay. Sometimes the ministry's dragging the people down too by not setting the right example for them. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Stay there, Timothy. Take heed to thyself and the doctrine. Continue in there. Stay in the path. Brother, he was talking about, prove these things. My daddy used to say years ago, people today, I can give this example. There's a few older folks like me around and say, oh, yeah, I know what he's talking about. My dad used to talk about, said his dad would go down to buy a new mule. What he wanted to do before he bought the mule was he wanted to hitch him up, take him out in the field, and plow him a little bit. And the expression he used was he wanted to prove him. He wanted to prove if that mule could do the work that it needed to do. We do the same thing. We call it test drive today. We go out for a test drive. We kick it in in high and make sure it'll give the performance. Slam on the brakes a time or two. Go over a bumpy road. See how it rides. We're trying to prove if that vehicle will do what it says. We need to prove these things to ourselves by what continuing in them. Stand there. Prove that God's word is true, that it's right. It's the right way to do, the right things to do. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. All right. Hosea chapter 4. Hear the word, Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Now he's talking to Israel. Hosea's talking to Hosea, by the way, if you don't know. He's the prophet. They call these minor prophets some name that somebody hung on them somewhere, right? So Hosea was the prophet that God told to go out and marry a whore because he wanted Hosea to know what it was like to be married to Israel. That's pretty graphic. Saturday afternoon. I'm glad it's Saturday afternoon. He goes out and tells him. Then Hosea writes to them, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. He goes on. Let me read it. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea shall also be taken away. Yet let no man strive to reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. Now, I don't know, I may not have a full grasp of all that, but it sounds pretty bad. They're all going to die, all in one night. The people are going to fall, the prophet's going to fall, the priest is going to fall, and even your mother's going to be destroyed. So he says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You know why? They didn't delight in the Word of God. And they didn't take heed to the Word of God. And they didn't exalt the Word of God and say, God is right above everything else. God's Word is true. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. And thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. You say, well, it's... Yeah, I know I've got this sinful situation going on, and it's not hurting anybody but me. No, it's going to impact your children and your children's children and maybe generations to come. Not only would God say he's going to reject them, but he's going to reject thee, but thou shalt also be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Now, I want you to get this. As they increased, so they sinned against me. There's nothing wrong with God blessing people. Abraham was a blessed man, had much goods, many flocks, many herds, large. Solomon was a man. As Solomon increased, and Solomon got more wise in Solomon's eyes, so he sinned more against God. He sought out all the wives. He let them have all their false gods, all those things. He began to try to prove the Word of God to see if it was true. He was trying to prove it in the wrong way in everything that he did. Therefore, I will charge their glory to shame. I will change their glory to shame. They shall eat up the sin of my people and set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough, and they shall increase, and they shall not increase because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. There's the problem. Take heed to thyself. And the doctrine, Timothy. Why? Because people are forgetting this is not just a Bible, it is God's Word. And we're not taking heed to the Lord. And because of a lack of knowledge, people were destroyed. Let us turn back and be like David. And let us delight in his statutes and his commandments and his laws. And be thankful that we have a daddy that cares. A heavenly father that loves us enough to try to give us the right kind of advice to stay out of trouble. And one that loved us in spite of ourselves and sent his only beloved son to die for us and redeem us from our sins by his very blood. Meditate upon these things. Think about how blessed we are. And how delightful we ought to be that God has preserved down through the years a record for us to learn from. To learn from the mistakes of others without having to make all the mistakes ourselves. How God has given us the path, the way that we can go, the ways that we can walk. Be thankful and rejoice and delight in them. May God bless you is our prayer.